Welcome back to the TV Talk Machine. I am Jason Snell, and across the internet from me, your host, Chief TV Critic at The Hollywood Reporter, Mr. Tim Goodman. Hello.
Hello, Jason.
I just saw you the other day.
We saw each other at a bar.
We had a Monday Night Bars episode, special episode of Bars, Bars Reunion special, Christmas special.
I was called out, especially for not remembering that it should be called, we should have just called it Bars. And
yeah.
Then I was like, oh.
That was another OG TV Talk Machine reference to a series in development called Bars, where people, lonely people, sit around and drink in bars.
And it was only because we had the voices, or we just wanted to do drunk voices in the original, basically.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. So I feel like that's like the number one thing we should talk about is we had the TV Talk Machine meetup, the much discussed, rarely planned TV Talk Machine meetup.
And still it was rarely planned.
and that was Monday at the 21st Amendment in San Francisco, a Monday night. What are the chances that there's going to be a holiday party in the special room at the back of the 21st Amendment on a Monday night? Well, it is December and there was one. They were doing high fives and stuff up there. And so we took over the front corner of the place, actually, with our massive turnout of like, what, 16, 17 people, I think I counted.
17 people, yeah. We had sort of by necessity, well, I say we, but others had landed there before us.
Yes.
And had staked out seats and then moved in each direction. And I think by the end of the night, we had kind of taken over from left to basically the front of 21A and then ended up primarily in the far right hand corner.
Yeah, it was, I talked to a lot of people. I felt like sometimes there's a big group and I don't feel like I talk to everybody because I stayed in one corner, but I felt like we kind of cycled through a little bit and I didn't talk to you a whole lot, but we were talking to all of those other people. And I feel like I got a chance to chat a little bit with everybody, but it was a pretty amazing. I was talking to somebody about this. You know, you put things out there, whether it's on the internet or in print or whatever, and you know that there's an audience, like theoretically, but that's very different than talking in person, face to face with a human being who actually listens or reads or whatever the thing you make. And that was, you know, it just struck me on Monday nights, like all those people like came out on a Monday night in a cold Monday night in San Francisco to see us because we talk on a podcast. That's amazing.
Yes, it was lovely. I think that it was, I think I had that same feeling that you can sometimes get if you're a host at your own party where you were hoping you talked to everybody and you think you did. Hopefully I did. It's very hard. I tend to, as anybody, and I'm sure you, and probably even the listeners know, my stories can be pretty long. So I'm sure that I didn't finish any one story that I started, basically. It was a good time. And it's, you're right. It's to come out on a Monday night, from all over the place. We can talk about where people came from, but to come out all over the place, to have a chat with both of us, which is inconceivable. And I'm sure it's probably inconceivable to everybody who talked to us afterwards. Certainly for those who talked to me.
Yeah.
Like, why? Did I call it? We come out on a Monday night?
It's just these guys.
What are these guys doing?
Is this it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, at least there was beer and some snacks.
There was, yes. And people bought snacks and they bought things.
Yeah.
You left me a package of
goodies. I gave you
podcasting
podcast goodie pack. Yeah.
And yeah, there it was. I think talking to, I felt like I made an attempt to try to talk to everybody. Hopefully everybody got time in there. I'm sure I bored everybody that I talked to. It doesn't really matter anyway. But yeah, it was, I really get what you're saying and like loving that like sense of like, wow, you know, these folks came out and they had something to say. And so, you know, they spend whatever day, when it's internationally dropped simultaneously and they listen to it and they came out and had a talk. So I thought that was good.
Yeah, it was. It's cool that people are listening, and you know, we put this out there, and we do get letters and stuff. But you know, like you always say, it's radio without the listeners, right? It's like nobody's listening, right? Nobody's listening. It's like no, on a random Monday night with just people in the Bay Area, largely, we got 16 people to come and visit with us at a bar to talk to those, you know, idiots who do a podcast. So it's just, it's thank you to everybody who came. We had a great time. Some great stuff from the people who weren't there. We got a great tweet and photo from Sherry from the Vale.
Yes, that was a classic.
And she sent us the they're in Cuba. So they were,
which is really not an excuse. We got somebody from Rwanda who came, so Cuba's a lot closer.
Yeah, well, this is there's so many international simultaneous worldwide stories to tell. Sherry and Larry sent in from Cuba a version of the logo that was marked up as the TV Habla Máquina. That was great. We got a video,
yes,
from Hobo Eric.
Yes, that was
toasting
amazing.
Us. Mm-hmm. Oh, Hobo Eric.
And we got a video from George D.
We got a video from George D, always in the 415.
From the OG. I got to talk to Design Geek Jess, and she, because we were didn't finish actually talking about design, she left a contact on the podcast swag bag you got me. But as I was unable to tell her after she left that her handwriting is so terrible, I couldn't make out heads or tails about the Gmail address. So
all right,
she's gonna have to
get in touch. Design Geek Jess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We'll give you the numbers at the end.
But everybody, remember when we talked to everybody, like what they did, like how far did you come from?
Yeah.
It was great, and it was a rush.
Yeah, well, it was funny also because you've got the people that you know from the internet, and then that they're human beings, and making the connection. Like I recognize Dean from the 707 with his travel update.
Uh-huh. So he walked in. Mm-hmm.
I recognize him, but I've seen a lot of pictures of him all over the country, going to various locations and bars all over the country. But like, I was talking to Design Geek Jess for like 10 minutes or 20 minutes, and then she said, "I'm Design Geek Jess, by the way," and I'm like,
like yeah, it was exactly.
I hadn't made that connection. I had no idea. One of my Allens was there. One of my nemeses. We had a friendly
Was there an Alan there that I
there
did
was
not
an
put
Alan
together?
There.
See, it's like it like.
Well, design... he said he was Alan, and I said, "Are you one of my nemeses?" And he said, "Yes, I am. I'm from the." I think he may be Alan from the 650, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, and I would have met him. Well, I'm terrible with names anyway, but
yeah, me too.
Yeah, everybody was nice. It was fun. It was a good time. Laughed, rode BART back with a couple of folks and headed back to BART, walking up the street with folks. It was a good time.
That was, it's pretty awesome. Great group of people. I can tell you this, the TV Talk Machine audience is even more attractive and intelligent than I was assuming. They are Renaissance people.
Yes, they are.
And all of you, I'm sure that the people, the 16 who were elected by the audience to represent them, are a representative group of how great all TV Talk Machine listeners are.
It was the TVTM Electoral College meetup.
Yeah, yes. That's right.
People were speaking for other people. Yeah.
The 21st Amendment won, I think. I think that it won because we bought lots of beer.
That was fun. And they didn't know what to make of us. So we were like, yeah, we're just going to have all these people in the doorway talking about TV.
They're used to groups pouring in there from random office buildings and stuff. I'm sure it's fine. So we do have some business to cover about the meetup, too, because Dean in the 707, this was state number 50, California, and he's 50 states, churches and bars in 50 states, and they watch a TV show that's set in that state. And Dean did the amazing thing of putting together a ballot, printed ballots and handing them out at the meetup, and we voted with a large selection of shows that we could vote for what the representative California show or shows would be. And it was not even close that we got two winners. In second place was Silicon Valley, and in first place was Arrested Development. And I'm happy to say that I voted for both of those. I think Dean watched Arrested Development as his official California show. And that's just fine. That's just fine.
Yeah. And so he can practice up when he gets back. Because at the meetup, he could have said, I've made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a Monday night. But everybody was lovely.
It's too late. That was number 50. It's done now. His huge mistake.
It's done.
Is now over.
Right. You can't go back.
And there are two banana stands in Balboa Island. That's just all I'm saying. There's two banana stands there.
Yeah.
The original banana stand and the real original banana stand. Whatever. There's always money in the banana stand. We got longest trip to get there has to be Kate. who came from Rwanda. We now you may remember her as the person who sent in the messages from the embassy in Rwanda. Uh-huh. And I talked a little bit with her about like how she gets TV there, and there's like stuff she can download, and there's like American Forces television that she can watch some things on, but they're kind of sometimes out of sync with how they're shown here. But she obviously didn't just come for us. She has family, and there's some sort of holiday or something. I don't know.
She brought her mom.
She did bring her mom,
yeah,
which was
awesome.
Which was adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very nice. And she's going to be in Rwanda a little bit longer, and then I think going to Bangladesh in a year or something like that. So we'll have a correspondent in Bangladesh in a little bit, but she'll be going back to Rwanda after the holiday. So thank you to Kate for coming all that way. That was spectacular.
It was something else.
Yeah. That was really great. And I don't know what else. I don't know if there's anything else from the meetup. It was a good time. We should probably do it more often and plan it, because you know, I should go outside out of my house more often than never, so more once a year.
Yeah, I love the idea of plant.
I did that somebody and I forget who it was, but one of our listeners said, there are places we could go in San Francisco where we could reserve a space. I said, well, the problem with reserving a space is they generally want you to guarantee a certain amount of money that you spend, or you want to pay them in advance for the space. And she said to me, I think she said, I'll take care of that. And I'm like, I don't know if you want to do that. But I was thinking that maybe sometime next year we'll do a meetup, and maybe I'll do like an Eventbrite or something where everybody pitches in $10 or something, and that helps us reserve a space somewhere. I don't know. We'll figure it out. That seems awfully ambitious, I know. But we've taken a baby step, which is actually going to an event. And I don't think I'm giving too much away to say that Tim and I texted before the event, and both of them were like, boy, this is a really rough day. And I said, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit sick. And it's like, even then. And it was like, is anybody going to show up? Will we not even be there? But in fact, it all came together. So the next step would be, you know, slightly more planning. So look for that in 2019.
Well, exactly. 2019. Very yep. funny. You were feeling under the weather. My daughter ended up getting sick, and it was chaos had landed on my abode and others, and it was like, oh my god. And then it was like, I gotta go to the city. But
once we got there, mm-hmm. it was like a warm blanket. There was nothing but love. Everybody had a good time. I think it was really good. So once we got there, it was all good. I felt better. I mean I really did. Like I was feeling not that great all day, and when I got there and got in the door and was talking to people, I felt great. So it was really kind of energizing, and that was cool.
Yeah, it was good, because I got your text saying I'm on Battery Street, and I was like, all right, I'll see you when it's over then.
Yeah.
So that is just a parking lot. I know that's true. And I do want to throw one thing in there, because it's funny that we had all these either like videos or whatever from people who were what we always refer to as OG TVTM listeners. But Jennifer Gomez Jengo was able to be there in person. And I think she was the only one. There was a time when we actually got everybody together, and I think we did a nighttime podcast in the original. I think everybody was there, prepaid. It was something else. But so she was there in person. It was nice to see her out there, and everybody. So thanks for everybody coming out.
Yeah, that was great. That was great. And there was at least one person who recalled the previous 21st Amendment meetup that we had, which is pretty crazy.
Yes, and so, that was what's Burundi? How do I pronounce her name? Burundi. I messed that up.
Oh yeah, Burundiwin. That's
yes.
Brandywine. Yeah, that's right.
Brandywine.
Burundiwin was there. That's great.
Yeah, I think
the Lord of the
baby.
Wings reference. Yeah,
and she had a little animal that she took. She actually showed me a
moose.
Picture. Of the moose that she had taken how many years ago? A decade earlier. How it's been so long. And I was like, oh, don't show me that, because look how much younger I look and thinner. It's awesome.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But the moose hasn't changed.
The moose is looking good.
Mm-hmm.
The moose is looking good. So, yeah, meetup. It's a good thing.
We did a kind of random meetup, yeah.
Yeah.
In the interwebs.
And it was great. So thanks to everybody for coming. And, you know, sometime we'll do it again. Not making any commitments.
That's too funny.
Just sometime. Let's do... So the big thing I wanted to talk about with you this week, so many lists... End of the year, so many lists.
So many lists.
I thought maybe we could talk about your... last week we talked about the best cable and streaming shows of 2016. And this year, or this week, I thought we would talk about your best network TV list, your separate list of 2016.
Sure.
Because you did once again make a separate list. Now, I want to, before we do this, we've kind of gone back and forth with this a little bit, and I want to be clear here. Is there a separate list because you feel like literally none of these shows could crack the top 40 on cable? Or is it that because the business of network TV is so different from cable and streaming that it's not right to mix the lists? Which is
It doesn't actually fall into like a right category. I wrote in my very first one, the one this year when I did the big one, the best shows on TV, which I consider cable. I had indicated that before. I had let some comedy come in because comedy is what networks do best, and I don't think any of their cable stuff can, any of their dramas can crack that lid. That 38 this year, yeah, as opposed to 46 the previous year. Now you could definitely make an argument that some of the comedies could do it. And last year I moved over Jane the Virgin and was the only broadcast show on there. I thought it was so much better than anything else was on. And then the list this year I had a new number one on TV. But I think when it came down to it, just for making at least some sense of it, it just made more sense to take all network and move it separately. Because it is different, and sometimes, I think sometimes that's that problem we fall into with just the 30-minute show. Like, I mean, is Atlanta funny every week? No, it's not just funny every week. It's very serious. There's so many serious shows, but something like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is funny every week in a 30-minute slot. And there was just a lot of things that were going to be troublesome to compare. And I just found out it just made more sense to divide the two. And at the end of the day, it's just lists, right?
Right. But you're not, I mean, this is, you're not like saying, well, they're it's nice that they tried. Like,
no,
you know,
it's a different feel. Yeah. And I'm also not even saying that, my number one on this list doesn't just become the 39th show. It's better to compare them amongst themselves of a kind, because they're playing on the same field and they don't have, they have the FCC. They have to be big tent, appeal to as many people as possible. There's just a lot of things that they and multiple episodes, which can drain the overall season feel of whether the overall season was a success, because you had 24 episodes. That's insane. So, yeah, different field.
All right. All right, let's walk through them then, Casey Kasem style again, because why
let's
not
do
that? Mm-hmm. How about number 13? You did 13 this year. Number 13 is This Is Us on NBC, which is an actual hit for NBC. Look at that.
Yeah, if only NBC wasn't worried about talking about Trump, they would come out in January and tout this as a thing that worked for them. And, it's not perfect for me. It's a little bit, it's a little gimmicky in its concept. I don't think it actually needed to do that, but whatever, it works. I just said, every broadcast needs more shows like Parenthood, because I think critically, when I'm watching a high-end cable drama, if I feel the levers move and they're manipulating me, I downgrade them a little bit. But I think people want their heartstrings to be tugged in a way that This Is Us does it on network. And you don't feel any less about the show. In fact, it actually kind of makes the show what it is. So, Friday Night Lights and Parenthood were excellent examples of that. And This Is Us is good.
Right.
So, none of these are probably, except for the comedies, are ones that I watch regularly. But, that was solid. And people are big, big fans of that show.
Yeah. All right. Number 12. This is one of my faves. I actually just finished watching. I got caught up because I know there are, I think, 4 episodes left. But The Good Place on also NBC. The Good Place. Kristen Bell.
Yeah.
Ted Danson.
Yeah. Michael Schur's done a good
Mike
job here.
Sure, boy. Mm.
And I wish they had just run them all together instead of breaking them up. But we
it's
get
true.
A few back on the way. It seems weird that they're discombobulated like that. But yeah, so much fun. It's just like a half hour you can watch and have a smile on your face.
Yeah. And the thing I was saying to my wife after we watched the last two that have aired is, I really like the format of it, where it is telling a story. Every episode does advance the story. There is no reset button at all. It's an incredibly, I don't know, it's very rare that you get, it happens, but it's very rare that you get a comedy that seems so sitcom-y on one level and yet is completely serialized, like right down to everything's like chapter one, chapter two, but it really is like they're telling a story in 30-minute comedy bits. And I think that's cool. I think it's got some stuff to it that is not usual for this. So.
Yeah, and again, I think it's perfect for network. It does real well there.
Nice and shiny and sunny and fun. Number 11, The Goldbergs, ABC, A Trip to the 80s.
I think we've mentioned on this podcast that one of the things I like about The Goldbergs is that it's like, it's not like 80s year specific, but it's 80s specific. And I love that because it allows them just to toy around with things. And, you know, it's a show that's, I don't know how many seasons it's been on, but it's been on for a while now, and it's done well, and it's really consistent. It's super underappreciated. And as I noted here, for a lot of network comedies, they'll stack up, you know, I'll get 6, 7, 8 of them. And then one night I'm like, oh, I feel, you know, because I'm a list crosser offer and I've got to do that. And then I'll get into it and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is really funny. I love this. Or like, oh, that's really clever. I wish I had seen that a month ago and written how clever it was. So, yeah, Goldbergs is one of those ones that stacks up but always rewards me for watching it.
Number 10, staying at ABC, Speechless.
Yeah, I think it's less of a This Is Us kind of thing because it's much more focused on comedy. But Speechless is really creative. And, you know, I almost want to say that, like, this is something that cable probably would have done badly because they would have made it a little too dark. Hmm. You know, and like I said, you know, this was everybody's think this was going to be, oh, this is the disability show.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, and it's not, you know, that is just a side of it. And it's very funny. It's really kind of broadly hits a lot of notes in a broad way. And I love that about it.
Well, this you could look at this, and we're going to get to more ABC shows. Spoiler alert, ABC comedy is a machine. And say that all of these ABC comedies have had something about them that could easily have been like, this is what the show is going to be about, and because it's not your show where everybody is a healthy, white, well-off family like every other sitcom ever, right? And right. Yet, you know, you're right. It's they all are allowed to not just be about the composition of their cast and be funny, you know, I don't know how to explain it, funny more expansively, like Black-ish, Fresh Off the Boat, even Modern Family, right, and Speechless. These are shows that are funny shows with interesting more diversity in the cast in lots of different ways than you might expect from traditional TV. But it's not like a gimmick where, like, this is a show about these issues. And, Speechless is about disability and finding a way to live with it. And it's like, no, it's a comedy with, a disabled person in it. And it's fine. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I think that's whatever they're doing at ABC. It's very interesting that they've done this.
Yeah,
and they've been so successful.
Good world views within their comedies.
Yeah. So speaking of which, number 9, Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's a constant. You probably could say, "Ooh, I almost made a Constance Wu." I do love her so much. It's kind of embarrassing. But yeah, it's a great worldview there and with this family. And there's like nuance throughout it. And it's never like just one thing or just one kind of story. It's just a family story. It's just a different kind of family. So it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Number 8, we're going into late night now. Late Night with Seth Meyers at 8.
Yeah, I mean, as I noted in there that, you know, John Oliver and Samantha Bee are always going to get the buzz because those are they're, you know, it used to be Daily Show, and then it, you know, we know how I feel about the current Daily Show, but you know, that was the buzz, and then it was these other, and then these guys are obviously graduates of that school of how they do things. And those shows are amazing. And they did really fantastic in their sort of like searingly political takedowns of Trump and the election. And excellent. But on the network side, the voice of all of that clearly became Seth Meyers, and I think it went hand in hand with a whole year of his series of his show just getting better. He's really likable. He's much more comfortable. The show feels like it's got an identity. Everything came together in 2016, I think, for Seth Meyers.
Hmm. Number 7, NBC's You, Me, and the Apocalypse. R.I.P.
R.I.P. But you know what? That on Twitter got so much love from people who said, yeah, I remembered it. I loved it. I missed it. It was fun. It was a co-pro, and you know, it was British and it was American, and it was just so weird. It was ridiculous. I want more of that. Give me more of that. But maybe ultimately it's more of a cable show. I don't know, but I enjoyed it while it was on, and it did really well. Obviously, number 7.
Yeah. Number 6, Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Ah, yes. Mr. Kimmel. And, a lovely man, and just a show that I kind of wanted to point out. He did some politics, and he did a fine job. That's not his thing that he wants to do, so it's not really his strong suit. But what I noted is in the show is that every time you turn on the show, it's a good show. It's never a flat show. It's never a show where you're like, eh. You know, it's like, it's a good show. And better yet, everybody on it legitimately seems to be having a good time. Hmm. Not like wincing through it or worrying about it or being too showbizzy, jazz handsy. They're very much like, I'm here, I'm having a good time with Jimmy. That's the sign of a good late night show.
Number 5, Black-ish, ABC.
ABC had some shows, huh?
Uh-huh.
They had some shows.
And they get the comedy. They got the comedy thing down.
Right. I think Black-ish is you know, the credit you can give for them is that every year the shows got better. Not always easy to do. I mean, some shows are just really good, and then they have another really good year, about on par with what they did. That's a little bit of a nuance that I don't get to write about as much, but and there's nothing wrong with that. This show gets better every season, so mm-hmm. I think it just gets more confident and does its thing.
Number 4, Bob's Burgers.
Bob's, I love Bob's Burgers so yep. much. And it is another one that stacks up. And as I noted in this, because I do want to reiterate this, because I tried to make this point and I don't think it came across well, but like sometimes as a professional TV critic who's watching tons and tons of shows and watches them, it just never ends. And you watch last night and then you watch the next night and the next day and then that evening. And then I'm over on my desk and I'm watching Links. And sometimes you have to just go like, oh, right. Like, what are the existing shows that I have to keep up with? And you get a little bit bedraggled. And sometimes to sort of like pop that cap, to break that seal mm-hmm. and then do a marathon, whether it's 2 hours or an hour, not an hour, but like 2 hours or 3 hours, do like a little mini nighttime marathon. And I tend to have sleeping issues, so I can stay up a little bit. You've got to have a show that you want to go to, because I would bet that everybody listening out there has a bunch of stuff on their DVR, and on some night they turn on the TV, they go to their list of shows on DVR, and they're like, eh. I mean, and that includes movies you might have recorded, or a bunch yep. of, you could have 9 episodes and you could be, eh, nothing's moving me. Hey, I get that way too. But like, so I wanted to point out that I usually cycle back to Bob's Burgers and say, like, I'm going to start here. I'm going to watch an episode or two of this. And it completely gets me in the mood to watch 2 or 3 episodes in a row of that show, but also then like, okay, I'm good now. I've got myself started. I got my warm up, you know, and I'm feeling good. That's my go to show that pops the seal there.
Yeah, it's so good. Number 3, this is one of the ones that I was plugging last week. Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I'll just reiterate. If you're not watching this show, why not? I mean, yeah. I don't really get it.
I know it's a sitcom on Fox, and there have been a lot of crappy sitcoms on Fox, but there are also good sitcoms on Fox, and this is a great sitcom on Fox.
Yeah, and I have done some delving into that, and some people are like, you know, wow. And then maybe some Andy Samberg might not be for everybody, but I love that Brower is there to be the yeah. opposite of him. It's just the casting was really good, and maybe if you were not like broadly into the broadly sized comedy of Andy Samberg, you didn't get to it. But every character here is good.
It's a spectacular cast with incredibly funny people throughout the entire cast. The cast is kind of magic. And yeah, I was talking to somebody a few weeks ago for a different podcast about Christmas movies, and I mentioned that I really liked Elf. And the response I got was, I hate Will Ferrell. And it's like, okay, you know, I kind of like Will Ferrell, but he's often in bad movies. And I get why you would connect him with bad movies and be like, no, I'm not interested in that guy. And it's like, but he's really great in Elf. It's like a perfect performance written for him. And and so I'm gonna apply that here to Andy Samberg, which is, I get it. I didn't really like Andy Samberg. But in this, it is. He's part of an ensemble, although he is the lead character, but he's surrounded by other people. It's a mixture that makes what's good about Andy Samberg really work, and it never goes to the point where you just are sick of him. So I think they use him really well and have made him actually likable, which is, as somebody coming into the show, I could not believe that was going to be the case, because I never really liked him. But I think he's great, and the show is great, and the writing is great. Andre Brower, again, you said in your thing, he should have a statue, perhaps in every city. Certainly in Los Angeles, and I would say you got to have him in Baltimore, too, for sure.
Definitely for that.
Yeah, Andre Brower, one of our finest actors, is on a sitcom on Fox. One of our finest dramatic actors is in a sitcom on Fox, and you know what? He's incredibly funny in it. So there you go. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was just thinking that he may be our Hugh Laurie.
Oh, that's good. I like that. I like that. And this is another Mike Schur show on the list, too, because The Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine are both.
Mike Schur knows how to make a show.
Smart guy, that guy.
Jane
the Virgin is number two, so a perennial on your list now.
Perennial drops down a slot, doesn't mean it did anything worse. I'm the first to admit that for me, that show, I love the people involved in it. It was such a feel-good story, how it had done so well for the first two seasons. And I know that season two got crazy because it's about novella. This is a little more grounded season. But I liked it because I was able to illustrate that, like, yeah, I haven't watched every single episode of it, but because I think that's true when you get to start making 22 and 24 episodes of anything. But you drop in on it, and it's just, I'm glad they kind of tone things down a little bit, but part of me also next season wants things to get crazy. Likeable people. I always come back to this, and this is probably a good sign. What they're doing tonally is really hard, and it would be really easy to have a complete season of Jane the Virgin go completely awry. Maybe we'll get there. Who knows? But that they haven't, and that they're not doing that on a regular basis, is a kind of victory that's hard to, again, this is why you almost have to put them in their own category, because as I noted, you know, it's on pause right now, but they've got 51 episodes in the can. That's five seasons of Game of Thrones. I mean, come on. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy what they're doing.
All right. And that leaves our number one show, which is
woohoo,
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Yeah, it was nice to get a nice note on Twitter from Rachel Bloom, who was on vacation and checked her email and saw that, you know, a couple of days after this list came out, that they were number one. And she tweeted it out and said nice things about me and THR, and it went all over the place. And she is lovely. As I said, she's kind of a national treasure. And the show, which has Adam Schlesinger doing a lot, lots of the music, who's a huge Fountains of Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Yeah, in fact, there's two Fountains of Wayne songs on my Christmas list.
Man in a Santa Suit? Maybe?
Man in a Santa Suit and Alien
for Christmas. I want an Alien for Christmas, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but the Man in the Santa Suit is such a great Christmas song. God, it's just...
Santa's sweaty and he smells like beer.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
How about that? It looks like a milkshake. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Well,
kids are barfing in a Christmas song. It's the best.
Yeah, it's so good. but not just barfing. It's like he says, you know, and he's saying the kids can't keep a soda down.
Can't keep the root beer down, yeah.
And he says, He goes, "Hey, look at that!" Hey, and it's out. Hey, look at that! It looks like a the way he says,
"Yeah,"
and it's out. Just transitionally, it's really good.
Hey, how about that? It looks like
a milkshake. Hey, about that? Yeah, it's so good. And then on the other one, the man in the Santa suit, the line when he says he calls the hair salon and says, "Put Loretta on." That is so great. That is a great writing.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's the executive music producer or something like that on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. So he's involved a lot in putting these songs together, because it's got, you know, the Crazy Ex-Girlfriend not only is a kind of a funny, you know, funny, wacky show, but it's got two or three original songs every week.
Yeah, and you can kind of, I mean, just backing into it, because I think Rachel Bloom is brilliant, but just backing into it through Adam Schlesinger, you can see why how this worked, because every Fountains of Wayne song is basically a little mini story, and everything inside of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend that's done as a musical and a song is a little story. It's part of the bigger story.
Yeah.
And so I can see how those two matched up amazingly. And again, who knows how long this magic is going to work, but you got to just keep checking it out. And again, if this is one of those ones, Rectify and all the other ones, Way Back to the Wire, we kept saying, hey, Pretty Woman, you got to watch this. This is just a show we got to keep saying, hey, everybody, go find this. You can catch it up on Netflix right now and check out Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
My fear is that it's going to be this era's Arrested Development, where we're going to look, it's not going to run for very long, but we're going to look back on it and say it's a miracle it lasted at all.
Right.
And
exactly.
like, because the consensus, I mean, I guess conventional wisdom is that the Golden Globe is the thing that got them a second season, that, you know, nobody was watching it, it had no attention, and it got the Golden Globe, and it's like, oh, people are paying attention now a little bit, right? But because its ratings aren't particularly great, but yet, you know, everybody like you and me is telling everybody else, no, it's really great, you should watch it, this random musical show on the CW. So I hope, you know, long may it rain, however long that might, you know, it can last on the CW.
I'm with you. Yeah, just listen, I'm not, I just didn't want to like touch it. It's like, yeah, it's, you know, want to jinx it. Keep going.
Keep it coming. All right, well, that's the fine 13. That's Lucky 13 from Network TV. So we're gonna a slightly shorter show than usual this week, because behind the scenes, full disclosure, I am going on vacation. So next week's episode will be a pre-recorded episode that we're gonna do momentarily, so you look for that next Friday, and that'll be a Happy New Year, almost, it'll be on the 30th, so we'll be pretending that we're putting on our party hats and stuff like that, and then the following week, who knows, maybe David Lohr will be back for 2017 as a guest host. We'll have to see, but we're gonna end it here and then go and record next week's episode, and
which
you can
wait. Even more lists.
Oh, yeah, more lists. Lists coming out your ears. But if you'd like to get in touch with us, we won't read any of your letters next week because, you know, it'll be fake because we will have already recorded it, but we'll cue those up for a future episode. You can tweet at us at TVTM. Tim is Bastard Machine. I'm Jay Snell on Twitter. You can go to Facebook, facebook.com/TV Talk Machine, or you can email us podcast@TVTalkMachine.com. Those all work to get your messages to us. And until next week, Tim, because I'm not going to talk to you for a whole week. Bye.
Bye.